You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Moretti. What's on the program to put his money where his fantasies are? On the Fantasy Sports Network. It's Friday, which means we're talking football. But we've got a rare treat. We've got a full slate of baseball today, starting now. So let's get it out of the way. I like the Houston Astros to win again today, although I'm not a fan of laying 80 cents. I don't know if you want to shake it up, you want to parlay something, you want to mix it up a little bit, but I do think the Astros take a 2-0 series lead. We're going to break down the rest of the baseball game. Steve Merrill's going to step up, and we're going to take a look at the Yankees and the Indians. Monster freaking number, man. I thought that Corey Kluber would be in the minus 200 range. It's higher. Keep climbing. Keep climbing. We're going to break that down. We got the Washington Nationals and the Chicago Cubs. We got the D-backs and the Dodgers. There's something for everybody on the table today. So Steve Merrill's going to join us. We're going to run the gauntlet with Steve. We're going to talk baseball. We got a couple of college football games on the board. We'll talk some NASCAR with Steve. We'll see what Steve likes in the National Football League as well. Dalton Deldon will join us. Yahoo Sports, one of the best fantasy guys in the business, one of my favorite guys, Dalton Deldon will join us. Help us navigate. I tell you, week five from a betting perspective, from a survivor perspective, and from a fantasy perspective is pretty tricky. Now, of course, I've got my DraftKings team that I put together for you. And I don't know, man. I've been all over the place on this. When I'm locked in on a quarterback that's going to be extremely lowly owned, I think we got some value there. I shook it up a little bit. And then, you know, I got to give credit or blame to Cameron 2 Drew. He collaborated on this. But it was Cameron 2 Drew that said, you got to have Larry Fitzgerald in your lineup. You know, what's this guy have? What is it, like 11 touchdowns in 8 games or something like that? Yeah, absolutely sick numbers, man, against the Philadelphia Eagles. So, yeah, we'll break that down. We got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today. Major League Baseball playoffs have started yesterday. We saw last night the Cleveland Indians sent out Trevor Bauer instead of Corey Kluber in the first game. And dude is throwing a no-hitter through 5 innings. This Cleveland team is a dangerous-ass team. So are the Houston Astros. Going to be a lot of pressure on the Dodgers this evening. I hate these 5-game series for the home teams. You're better off opening up on the road in a 5-game set. Last night, of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New England Patriots played football, along with NC State. Big win for the Wolfpack. We gave it to Wolfpack last night. We told you they're going to beat Louisville. And, you know, I guess we gave you what was the number yesterday? You know, I think earlier in the day I gave it at 5, right? Did we get a push at 5? I didn't get a push. I didn't get a push. I'm doing a million shows a day. And, you know, Gronkowski's injury, the number ended up going down. I ended up getting 4 points. And, you know, we got backdoored after getting backdoored. It was a double backdoor job last night. I guess I can't cry after what happened on Monday Night Football when we were gifted that cover with the Kansas City Chiefs. I've said it before and I'll say it again, man. Lord gambleth giveth, Lord gambler taketh. And he tooketh last night, which leads us into our first ever edition of Who Ruined Your Thursday? Well, let's get right to the point here. This one really wasn't planned. This is sort of a spur of the moment, who ruined your Thursday. In the sense that, I don't know what, it's been about 14 hours now, and I'm still upset about the debacle last night at Raymond James Stadium. You know, it's rare that the New England Patriots are going to allow a mediocre team like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to hang around for as long as they did in this game. It was very uncharacteristic of the Patriots that we even had a chance to cover, let alone win this football game, late in the football game. But unfortunately, Nick Folk can't hit a damn kick. And it's not just last night. Now, I don't like blaming one guy for a loss. I really don't. I don't blame Chris Webber for Michigan losing in a national championship game. It wasn't his fault. We were going to lose anyways. Scott Norwood? Hey, we all knew that Scott Norwood outside of 45 was shaky. Should have got him a little bit closer. You know, we go down the Bill Buckner. Bill Buckner, that wasn't even game 7. You know, Bartman, not Bartman's fault. It was a jackass shortstop that made like 16 errors. You know, you go down, you actually look at the so-called GOATs of all time, and I'm not talking about greatest. It's funny, in my day, GOAT meant like you sucked. Yeah, here's the GOAT. Now here's the greatest of all time. But when you look at guys that have taken the blame all the time, the solitary guys, it's really not their fault. So I don't like blaming one guy for a loss. But you know what, Nick Folk? I blame you for the loss. And, you know, your name is kind of, you know, Nick Folk. It's hard for me not to drop an F-bomb right now. But for the love of God, man, listen, that 56-yarder, okay, it's a 56-yarder. Never mind the fact you are a professional kicker. Like, what do they pay you to do, dude? What do they pay you to do? Like, you get paid to kick the damn football. The kick wasn't even close. All right, the 56-yarder, fine. Dude, you're missing 31-yard field goals. I'm watching Louisville and NC State play. These kids are nailing 48-yarders right down the middle in windy conditions. You know, it's pretty clear. He's done. He's toast. And I don't know what it is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What's your deal? You drafted a kicker in the damn second round. He missed a couple of kicks, and you ended up cutting him. And now Dirk Cutter, well, we're looking into changing kickers after the fact. You know what? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers should be looking into changing coaches, too. Dirk Cutter ain't winning jack, man. Who the hell's the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Yeah, it was Nick Falk sucks. But the fact of the matter is, so does the play calling. Todd Monken. Todd Monken's a clown. A monkey would do a better job than Monken would. You know what? Monken's got no experience. No experience at all. You know, the guy's never been an offensive coordinator in the National Football League before. You know what Todd Monken's last job was? He was the head coach of Southern Mississippi. He was 13-26. They actually paid him money to leave and go away. And then Dirk Cutter hires him. So you know what? It's not just Nick Folk's fault. It's Dirk Cutter's fault. And it's that jackass clown, Todd Monken's fault as well. And I'll tell you what, Jameis Winston, you weren't too good either. All this talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they are who we thought they are, all right? It's as simple as that. The Buccaneers aren't taking that next step because even if it's freaking gifted to them, they're not going to be able to take advantage of it. And now, Nick Falk, you've missed 5 of your last 7 kicks. So you know what, dude? The next time you're going to be kicking something, it's going to be a damn can down the street. You're fired! Game Time Decisions continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, let's roll. A lot of stuff going on. It's not often that I bring the laptop up onto the desk here, but it's not often that we got baseball going on as we speak. And I had to get some action in here. You know, we put our money where our mouths are. A lot of people talk, blah, 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 blah. They don't back it up. We're backing it up. Don't like the line here, but I think the Houston Astros are going to win this baseball game again today. We just came up with a parlay, actually. Last second parlay we're going to add to the picks. A lot of stuff, a lot of things going on today. No NFL football today, but after last night's debacle and that horrible bad beat, I think I need to move on anyways. Got a couple of college games, full slate of baseball. Dalton Deldon's going to join us. We're going to talk some fantasy football. I've got a DraftKings lineup for you. We'll have our NFL picks, of course, on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page as we do every week. We've talked a ton of NFL football, so let's talk baseball right now. A little NASCAR college. Steve Merrill joins us, ProSportsInfo.com, one of the cover's experts. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, Gabe, doing well.
So, Steve, this is as busy as it gets right now. Great time of the year to be a sports bettor. And if you can't win money and, you know, if you can't find something you like now, then you're in the wrong business. Yet, I managed to actually lose money last night because of some money management issues. And I went pretty hard on a couple of the props last night. And specifically the over that football game. Man, both those teams left a lot of points on the field last night, the Bucs and the Pats. It could have went over, but too many field goals, too many missed opportunities, and too many missed field goals.
Yeah, and the Patriots' defense had looked atrocious this year. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs in week one put up the most points and yards ever allowed by a Bill Belichick coach team in the NFL. Houston Texans, you know, put up a ton against them. So, doesn't speak well for Tampa that they weren't able to put more points up, although it does look like New England maybe made some adjustments, and this is still the defending Super Bowl champs. It just shows week in and week out in the NFL, it's just never as simple as looking at the past results. I mean, the Houston Texans, once again, a perfect example, since they switched quarterbacks, they're the number one scoring team in the league all of a sudden.
The NFL is a weird league. Nobody knows. Like you said, you think you know, you hope you know, you hope for the best, and if you can come out plus units at the end of Sunday night, consider yourself lucky. It's funny because I've been locked in with the NFL for the last 5 years or so. done very well. The NFL used to be kind of volatile for me like everyone else. And I actually really, dare I say, figured it out. And I was checking in the 60% mark on a yearly basis. Last year, kind of tough. This year, I'm doing okay. But I can't lie. This week scares me. I'm looking at the card this week. It's a tough one, Steve.
Well, I think you really have to take a contrarian view with the NFL.
Yep.
And, you know, your Buffalo Bills are another perfect example of that. I liked them in week three because it was a play against Denver for me. So that win didn't surprise me. I didn't have anything last week, but I was surprised they won out
right at
Atlanta.
So what about this week? It seems like it would be a play against, but is it?
Well, the problem is, do you trust the Bengals? But, yeah, if you want to take a contrarian call, Cincinnati would be the play this week.
Yeah, but they're three-point favorites. So I almost think that the Bills are the contrarian pick because I've heard everyone say this. I love what the Bills are doing, but, man, this is a tough spot. Big letdown after Atlanta. My deal is they're 4-0 against the spread. It's hard to fade them, you know?
Well, and they've been playing pretty good defense, and obviously they played
pretty
well on the road against Carolina and Atlanta.
Great defense.
So, yeah, right, and that makes for a good road dog, and that's actually one of the reasons I like Carolina a lot last week. We talked about it on the show, and I had a best bet on them against the Patriots. Good defensive dogs on the road are usually worth a look.
Yeah, and Andy Dalton is a clown, too. Let's not forget that aspect of it. Okay, so let's talk some baseball. We'll get back to football. The Astros already off the board right now. The game has just started. So let's jump into the Yankees and the Indians. And there was no line last night for this game because, you know, they were playing last night. So I was speculating out loud on my late night show. I was speculating out loud, all right, what's the number going to be with Kluber in the spot against Sabathia? And I thought, all right, 200. You know, maybe minus 185 is on the light side. Minus 200. I was shocked to wake up in the morning and see a minus 235. It's damn high, man.
Yeah, a couple of things. I mean, first of all, it's tough to fade Cleveland right now. You know, I thought after the 22-game win streak came to an end a few weeks ago that there maybe be a little bit of a letdown. I think they won, like, what, four of their next five or something after that. And I even said at the time that losing that game after 22 straight wins was a good thing because I thought they were leaving a lot of energy on the table, you know, using up a lot of energy they could carry to the postseason. But you really need to adjust all the regular season numbers and power ratings because they were that much better over the last couple months. So if it should have been 200 for the season, which it probably should have been, you know, it's now minus 230. And Kluber's been fantastic. I mean, he's got a 1.8 ERA this year in 16 home starts. He's got a 0.5 ERA in his last three starts overall. So they're just sitting in all cylinders right now.
Yeah, you know what? I would, I could consider the run line here. CeCe Sabathia has pitched well. I could consider the run line here. Kluber's a stud, 4-1, 1.83 earned run in the postseason last year as well. I think, you know, like you said, you can't get in front of Cleveland. Last night, I thought it was a great pick with Trevor Bauer on the hill, short price. Bauer's actually pitched really well, and people, you know, you laid 30, 35, 40 cents last night in that baseball game. All right, so the Cubs and the Nationals, this is a trickier one here, in which, you know, the number, the Nats are minus 160. You know what's amazing to me? This is only Steven Strasburg's second ever postseason appearance. He's only started one playoff game before in 2014. He's been around for a while. He's been a great pitcher, but he's never been healthy at this time of the year. Here he is starting game one, only his second ever playoff appearance.
Yeah, I like we talked about on Monday, this is by far the closest series in the first round or the divisional series round. You've got the Nationals who are a slight favorite in this series, slight favorite in game one, yet do you trust them? It's the Washington Capitals of baseball. They've yet to do anything in the postseason. They've underachieved over the years. And meanwhile, you're defending it going against the Pittsburgh Penguins of baseball, the defending world champs.
Yep.
So,
well done.
You know, it's just tough, you know, to go against the Cubs at an underdog.
Although, I'll tell you what, the Pittsburgh Penguins lost 10-1 last night.
Well, the Cubs didn't play too well during the beginning of the regular season this year either, right?
Good point. Yeah.
We'll see if they turn it on or not. They definitely were down a notch this year, but this is still the best team in baseball last year. And, you know, everyone thought this was going to be the dominant team this year, and the Dodgers and Indians turned out to be. So, you know, you could quietly say you're getting some value now with Chicago. And it's not like Hendricks didn't pitch well this year. He's got a 2.8 ERA in his 11 road starts.
He's been awesome. Since July 24th, he's given up two runs or less in 10 of his 13 starts. People don't think of Kyle Hendricks. That's why he's starting game one. He's the guy. He's the guy right now for them. But with that being stated, Strasburg hasn't lost a game since August the 19th. He's been in a zone. I mean, I know it's in your backyard there, so you're aware of it, but Strasburg's been in a zone since the All-Star break, man.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, you bring up a great point about only one postseason start. That's, of course, because they shut him down that other season, you know, going into September. But just a few months ago, Scherzer would have been your ace.
Yeah.
And he really was as good as anybody in the league. So it's just
– But it's not a big drop-off. It's not a –
Yeah, I don't have a play in this game, but I think the only way to play it is probably the underdog price because it looks like a toss-up.
I think the Nats are going to find a way. I'm going contrarian here because I think everyone thinks they're going to choke. All right? So – I don't like betting unders, but I got a feeling this is a lower scoring game, actually, Steven.
Well, and winning game one isn't losing game one isn't choking. So if there's ever a game they would win, it'd be game one, right?
Yeah, but you know what? If you're in a five-game series, I think the winner of this game wins the series. I don't think I'm being dramatic here. If I hate the five-game series for the home team. I'm a Dodger fan. We lose tonight with Kershaw on the hill. Suddenly, we're screwed. You know what I mean? We lose home field advantage. We lost our best pitcher. The five game is suicide, Steve, for the home team. I hate it.
Yeah, and I was going to say, I don't quite know why they do a five game, but I guess they still had the championship round and the World Series, so I guess it kind of makes sense. But all the other sports have gone to seven early on in the playoffs.
I used to like the NBA five because it is more entertaining. It is. It's just higher stakes. It changes everything. Seven game series, Steve, you lose game one, all right, whatever. Yeah, five game, and you got two more on the road still. You put yourself in a bad position.
Well, the thing about baseball, though, is other than batting last, you know, in the ninth, I'm not sure there's much home field advantage. Obviously, the crowd gets loud. I remember, you know, the Twins back in the 90s in the Metrodome, they had a little bit of an edge.
I know what you mean, but home field matters until it doesn't. Like, it's one of those deals. Yeah, it's true. You know, you'd rather have it than not have it, Steve. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, no, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. And I think game one in a five-game series is more critical than a normal game seven
would be. Put it this way. There are certain teams that home field is more important. You can't say Arizona's not more important, right? They're 52
and 29. Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. And that's why, there again, if the Dodgers do lose tonight is a big favor. But I think a bigger point that you made there is your ace is on the hill with Kershaw. And the Dodgers have been dicey the last couple months. So if they were to lose game one at home against a team that just had to play an emotional game two nights ago and travel – would not be a good indicator.
All right, so the Dodgers are minus 275, which this line is just absolutely insanity. Dodgers minus, and the D-backs are a good baseball team. Robbie Ray was going to pitch, but he was needed in relief the other night, so they're going with Tawan Walker. Walker's 2-0 with a 3.24 ERA this year versus the Dodgers. 9-3 on the year, strong year. That's the good news for the Diamondbacks. The bad news is Kershaw was also 2-0 against the D-backs this year, but with a 0.56 earned run average. He's 14-6 in his career against Arizona with a 1.12 whip. The elephant in the room, obviously, and I know you're about to say it, is Kershaw in the postseason.
Right.
4-7, 4.55 earned run average in postseason play. He was much crisper last year in the postseason. He should be a little bit fresher coming back, considering he missed some time. It's still a dangerous game, and the line is absolutely insane. To me, I'm putting the Dodgers in parlays, but I think the Dodgers win, but I can't lay 275. I got to play them in parlays.
Yeah, you and I are always on the same page. It's exactly the 3 points I was going to bring up. You know, he's had a bad career postseason numbers, but I think it's misleading. He's pitched better recently, and as we talked about last year and now again this year, he hasn't gone full season. So if there's maybe a reason why he's tailed off in the past, it was fatigue,
Chris Sale.
Of an issue now.
Chris Sale's tails off at the end of every year, and we saw that yesterday, but you're right. When he got hurt, I liked it. I was like, you know what? I don't mind this, him not pitching for a month in late August.
I agree. What I didn't like was how bad the Dodgers were in late August and September, though. And, we talked about the Indians' numbers are better than their overall numbers. You can make a case the opposite with the Dodgers right now. Their power rating probably isn't as good as their overall power rating because they were so much weaker the second half of the season. But they still have a lot of talent. And if anything, I think maybe they're rested and ready to go.
All right, let's switch gears over to some college football. Last week we had some sexy, high-profile games. Not so much tonight, Steve. It is what it is.
I mean, that was the best Friday in college football history last week.
Well, we got these baseball games today, at least. That's something.
Oh, no, yeah. We don't need four high-profile games on a Friday. I think two is good, and, you know, we've got decent games tonight. At least they're not like Sun Belt teams like we saw earlier in the week.
Steve gets the Monday night. You landed some good spots, though. National championship college basketball is Monday. National championship footballs are on Monday. But your Friday hits, you do get stuck with a lot of these Utah State, Fresno State games.
Yeah, but it's also the last chance to talk about all the big games for the weekend, so I don't mind it. I mean, Fridays usually work out pretty well.
I know.
you know, focused to go midweek. So, it's a trade-off.
You know, that's what it is, too. I always judge, all right? I mix it up a little bit, if you notice this year, Steve. Sometimes I'm like, all right, screw these, and we'll focus it on NFL and stuff. But there's so much going on today, and this show is sort of a, you know, it's about betting today. The NFL is sort of a way. But we'll get your quick NFL thoughts on the way out here. Memphis and UConn tonight. Rare to see a UConn total this high. It's up to 74 right now. But it's amazing. They can't stop anybody at all.
Yeah, UConn's really bad. I mean, they were, what, a 10-point dog at UVA, which I thought was crazy because UVA didn't look that good earlier this year, and they still got blown out. Of course, UVA goes in and beats Boise State, who's the other game tonight we'll talk about in a minute. But Connecticut looks pretty bad. It's hard to believe they're in a, you know, a New Year's Day, you know, what was it, a Big Six bowl game just a few years ago. This is the team that's not only 1-3 straight up, but 0-4 against the spread. Their only win was only by 7 points against Holy Cross as a 22-point favorite. Memphis, meanwhile, though, coming off after a 3-0 start, got blown out by Central Florida last week, and now they're traveling again on a short week. So it doesn't look like a great spot for Memphis, even though they're the much better team.
Yeah, I know, but basically UConn lose against good teams by 20 automatically so far this year, right? I know, right. It's an ugly game.
And they lost against East Carolina at home, and East Carolina's been terrible.
Yeah, and look, they put up like 78 points in that game. It was a 41-38, so 79 points in that game. Yeah, hard not to take a look at the over, even though it's high here, Steve.
No, I think that makes sense. And like I said, if Memphis is a little flat, I think a lot of times that shows on the defensive side of the ball, actually.
Yeah, I think Memphis gets there, let's say 50 to 30, 48-31 type thing. I think they beat him by like 17, and the game goes over the number. All right, this next one, this is tough and ugly, man. It's down to 7 right now. I wanted to make a case for BYU, and I can't. You mentioned Boise, but we know Boise are actually better on the road than they are at home for some reason recently. What do you make of this? This is an ugly game down to 7. I'm actually leaning Boise here because BYU just seemed to be that bad. When you get beat up by Utah State, you got problems.
They've had problems all season. You know, the red flag back on August 26 in week 1A of the college football season was that they only scored 20 points in the entire game as a 37-point favorite against Portland State. Maybe that was like, you know, just a lackluster start. Maybe they were saving stuff for the LSU game. Well, if they saved it for LSU, they didn't use it because they got shut out 27-0. And they've only put up more than 24 points once in those last four
games. An LSU team that just lost to a Sun Belt team.
Right. And got blown out by Mississippi State, who hasn't looked very good since. BYU is not a good team right now, and that's why they're 1-4 straight up, 0-5 ATS. But then again, you know, Boise just lost outright as a 14-point home favorite to Virginia. Tough to know about either one of these teams. I mean, I'm not in a hurry to take either one, especially, you know, with a road favorite laying 7. One thing about the altitude, though, it shouldn't bother Boise, as they're somewhat used to that as well.
And Boise coming off a bye as well. That Virginia game was a little
while
ago.
True, yeah, that's also a little bit of an edge they have here.
Yeah, you know what my deal is here? I don't think Mangum's going to be able to go for BYU. And their quarterback situation, man, I always feel old when I see these junior guys. Here's another one, Coy Detmer Jr. But I don't like the quarterback play for BYU here. I think Boise's going to get it done. I'm intrigued now that it's down to 7.
Another thing I'll point out, they only won by a point last year at home as a 7-point favorite. But be careful, they really dominated that game. They had a 5-0 turnover deficit. And they won the game. You don't see that happen too often.
All right, NFL, quickly, before we get to some NASCAR, Steve. Tough week this week. We got those Buffalo Bills are getting 3 points. I know you always do the Charlotte hit. I don't know if you've done it already yet today. So I know this game will come up with you. And it's funny, NASCAR in Charlotte, too. So let's keep it in Charlotte here. The Lions and the Panthers. I don't know what to make of the Panthers' win last week. Are they all the way back? I don't think so. I like the 2.5 with the home team. Defend the den with the Lions.
I'm surprised because we talked last week, you know, how we thought the Lions were a bit overrated.
I know, and I hate chasing my tail like this. I know.
Well, but they did look better last week, but I still think Carolina maybe is the better team getting points here. I did the Charlotte hit about an hour ago, and one of the co-hosts actually said they're worried about a letdown after the big Patriots win.
Good.
And I can somewhat understand that. They did just beat the Super Bowl champs, but I still think it's the better team getting points.
You got the mini controversy with Cam Newton with the sexist remarks to the female reporter.
And, might be a good thing that they're on the road again, though, to be honest.
Yeah, now it turns out the female reporter's got a bunch of racist tweets from years ago.
It evens out. Penalty's offset.
Yeah, but it doesn't even out because he actually got dropped. He lost a couple of sponsorship deals, Cam Newton, over this. Yeah, she hasn't been fired yet. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. I don't see how she goes into an NFL room when she's used the racist language she has on Twitter. Like, I don't see how. How can you be a little white blonde chick and cover African-American athletes and use words against them online, Steve? Like, if she doesn't get fired, I don't know, man. Like everyone in America basically is waiting right now. All right, ball's in your court, Charlotte Observer. Charlotte Observer has no comment. Essentially, I don't think they want to fire her for one reason or another. But, you know, people have been fired for a hell of a lot less.
Well, you wonder how much of a distraction it is when it's your star quarterback as opposed to, you know, a lesser player on the team.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a distraction. I just threw it out. I don't think Cam Newton gives a crap.
Yeah, and plus, like I said, Carolina's more of a defensive team this year. That's why I liked them last week against the Patriots, who's that defensive dog. And, you know, I'm not expecting them to win a shootout. They're going to win with defense.
No, and I say, and Warman just said, no, she issued an apology. No, I don't mean that he didn't care about her. I mean, Cam Newton doesn't care that he offended her. Or Cam Newton doesn't care about losing a yogurt deal, I don't think. But whatever. All right, ooh, I lost a Dannon yogurt deal. You think he gives a crap? Gatorade standby. You know, I think he won't care when she gets fired. She's going to be the one with the bigger problem. Cam Newton will be just fine. Yeah, but I like the lines here. All right, what else catches your eye in the NFL this week, Steve? It's a tricky week.
Well, I do like the Bengals. We talked about that earlier. I think, you know, whenever you have a team like Buffalo off back-to-back straight-up dog wins and then traveling again, it's not a good spot. Even though Buffalo probably is a better team this year, I think if you are looking for a contrarian call, you know, hold your nose and take the Bengals. The one that's interesting to me, I don't necessarily have an opinion on it right now, is that Kansas City-Houston game. You got the Chiefs playing on the Sunday night primetime game after playing Monday night, and now against a Houston team that's been night and day since switching quarterbacks.
I know. You know what's funny, too, because I hate doing this, because I just said, well, the Buffalo Bills are 4-0, so I can't get in front of them, and they're getting points. And, well, the Kansas City Chiefs are 4-0 right now, too. You know, I'm leaning with the Texans here, man. Home field, I don't think Deshaun Watson's getting priced right. I think he's a better quarterback than your average rookie. Houston's got that good defense. Kansas City didn't look great against Washington. It looks like Kansas City might be on borrowed time a little bit here.
Yeah, and we didn't get to touch on it, but that was one of the worst bad beats in the parlay history if you had the Redskins and the under.
Yeah, I was on the Chiefs.
Total switch.
I was on the Chiefs, but I had the Bucs plus 4 last night, Steve, so it goes both ways.
Yeah, and that line actually opened at 5.5 and came down because Gronk was out, so it landed 5, which literally was in the middle of what the line was opening and closing.
I'm aware.
Well, it once again just shows how sharp these numbers are and how random the NFL has become, like we just talked about earlier.
I had a guy in my chat last night. I see him. He's like, Morenci must really feel bad, like he's such a square with a bad number. I'm like, yeah, thanks, buddy.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, feel teasers are working better than ever, though. I mean, teasers are hitting all that Kansas City game, all 4 sides in total.
You're right. You can middle all these teasers recently. All right, NASCAR, we're into the next stage here. Charlotte, we'll keep it in Charlotte. Second stage, Martin Truex plus 275. He's won 4 to 5 races on mile and a half tracks this year. Austin Dillon won this race earlier this year here. Jimmy Johnson's won 8 times here. He's sort of the king of this track. And Jimmy wasn't terrible last week, but he's really not in good form. You can never count Jimmy out, especially on Charlotte. In Charlotte, you got Kyle Busch. He's never won here before, but he's always dangerous on a track like this. What do you make of the race this week?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Busch will be dangerous, but it's almost impossible to not use Martin Truex Jr. He's been dominant this year, and this is by far his best track in recent years. He's been top 5 in 4 of his last 5 starts here, top 3 in 3 of the last 4, and the one he won in the spring of last year, he led almost every lap of the longest race of the season. It was one of the most dominating performances in decades in any track, and now it's the new round, so he has to have a win to advance. So unless something weird happens, it's going to be hard to imagine he's not the guy to beat.
Didn't he crush the All-Star race here, too?
Yeah, it's just, and like you said, he's dominated a mile and a half to start with, and this is probably his best of all of them.
Yeah, no, he's been absolutely dominant, especially in Charlotte. He's led just a million freaking laps. All right, Steve, so I guess that's about it.
I'll mention Denny Hamlin real quick. Top 5 in 3 of his last 4 here, and he's another Toyota, which has been just at another level this year.
If you want a pick on the way out, Steve, I'll share one with you, some hockey. Vegas Golden Knights make their debut this evening on the road at Dallas, and that night roster's pretty bare, Steve. Lay the puck and a half, plus money, plus 125, Dallas Stars.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're probably eyeing that home opener. And especially, and then you got the whole emotional thing going on with the shooting.
Yeah, that'll be at home.
That's affecting that team.
That'll be at home, exactly. That'll be an emotional night at home. They're on the road right now. And, yeah, I don't like using that stuff, but how could it not be a distraction there this week there for them? Yeah.
Yeah. I'm with you. I don't follow hockey, but that looks pretty cheap.
Yeah, lay the puck and a half plus money. Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Gabe.
Steve Merrill, ProSportsInfo.com. One of the covers experts. We'll take a quick break. Dalton Deldon. Love me some Dalton Deldon.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci, and you're like, you know, like in the hostage, videos and stuff in the old movies, you hold a newspaper up, prove what day it is. Just to prove we're live right now. It's a 2-0 for the Houston Astros. 2-0 for the Houston Astros. You know what? We're actually taping Monday's show, but I shouldn't have told you that. I like to like randomly guess and just make scores up. I actually worked with a dude, an update guy. He wanted to leave, and a team was up by like 3 innings, and he did a last update, and he said they won. And I'm like, how do you know? He's like, I'll risk it. All right. So yeah, 2-0 Houston Astros right now. That's good because we're on the Houston Astros. We'll give you some baseball picks a little bit later on. Let's talk some fantasy football right now and some NFL football and betting football and football and have fun with Dalton Deldon, one of my favorite guests. Dalton Deldon steps up and in from the Bay Area, Yahoo Sports. What's going on, Dalton?
Not much, but come on. You left me hanging there. Did the team end up winning or did they blow it?
Which one?
With the guy you worked for with 3 innings left.
Oh, yeah, no, they won.
Oh, that would have been a better story, obviously.
Yeah, they won. Yeah, I'm sure I'm all over the place. Yeah, I'm looking at the board. Yeah, no, they won. You know what I told them, too, in the future? I said, why don't you just record alternate stuff? You know, right. They won, they lost.
Exactly.
Yeah, just alternate stuff. Okay, so let's get down to business. Westgate Super Contest. Both you and I were crying earlier in the year. We're like, damn. You know, I went 1-4 and 0-5 in week one. Yet, on a torrid pace since, 11-4 and 10-5, getting right back in this thing, Dalton. So we battled back to over 500. One of my teams, we got like 12.5 wins right now. Hey, I'm not proud of it, but at least we're not out of this yet. How are you doing right now?
Yeah, me and my partner went 2-3 the first 3 weeks. Very consistent. We're going to say we almost wanted to go 2-3 all 17 weeks. That'd be more impressive than winning it.
But you deserve a bonus for that if you manage that. Yeah.
But we actually bounced back finally and went 4-1 last week. So hope to, you know, it's terrible to get off to a loss, a terrible start because you spend so much money on this. At least have some entertainment for a month. But went 4-1 last week. So hopefully we can continue the hot streak.
It's a tricky week this week, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I think there's going to be some separation this week. Because, you know, look, I went 4-1, too. That's the thing. I think all of us idiots did well last week, Dalton. Right. So we did, we all went for it. I think this week will be a little bit of separation. Because there's not that, you know, like, what's the consensus going to be? I don't really know. And I know you got a piece of the Colts, actually. And I like the Colts, but I think a lot of people are going to be scared of them.
Yeah, who wants to bet on the Colts? You know, their week one loss doesn't look as bad in hindsight. They got blown out by the Rams, who are they're solid. Their coaching change has made such a difference there. They took Arizona into overtime. Last week's game against the Seahawks was a lot closer than the final score indicated. I mean, that just got out of hand in the fourth quarter, a defensive score. Obviously, this team isn't great. But I'm a 49ers fan, but they have to travel, play the morning clock game. They're not good at all. They're a couple quarters away from switching quarterbacks. Hoyer's been pretty much a mess. They've scored a touchdown, I believe, in just one of their four games. Colts, they're not a total doormat. I expect T.Y. Hilton to go off. So, that was one that jumped out at me. That's my favorite bet of the week is Indy.
All right, I love the name of the team, Real Man Picks. Real Man Picks. I've got some bad. I'm on four teams, actually, dude. We got some bad names. One of the names, the worst name ever. Ask my guy, what'd you name the team anyways? He goes, three bald guys.
I'm like, I like that.
Yeah, you're not bad. And I said, really? I said, that's kind of weak, dude. I said, I expect better from you. And he goes, to be honest with you, I tried to name the team Stripper Ripper, but they wouldn't let me.
in Las Vegas, of all places.
Yeah, no, I swear to God. Cornegay, we know Jay Cornegay. Cornegay was like, sorry, T-Bone, listen. You can't call him stripper ripper. And we're like, what's offensive about it? Like, this word stripper is not offensive, and the word ripper is not offensive. Stripper ripper. Now, for the record, I don't know what it means, and I don't know what's in this guy's head, but nevertheless, I got another team, LA Express. We got Team Sports Rage, and we got Team Conflict Diamond, which is the name of a racehorse that we own. All right, so for the record, Dalton likes the Steelers, the Dolphins. Like the Dolphins pick, especially if Mariota is going to be out. Colts minus 1.5, Seahawks plus 1. I like the Rams in that one, and I agree with the Texans. So let's get into some fantasy talk now. And we talked about this Indianapolis game. I like the Colts, too. And I got to tell you, I'm going to give a DraftKings lineup in a couple of minutes, and I'm sure the trolls in the comment board are going to laugh because my quarterback is Jacoby Brissett, and I stacked him with T.Y. Hilton, Dalton. Talk to me, brother. Am I crazy? What can you tell me about my play here?
No, this game's over-under has crept up throughout the week, and it's funny because it seemed like two bad teams, but there could be some fantasy scoring. I mean, even Hoyer's so cheap. DraftKings is like 4,700. I know people like Aldrick Robinson because he's a Kyle Shanahan guy. He's like 3,100, and Marquise Goodwin's out probably with his fourth concussion, in recent times, and he got 12 targets last week. I'm with you with Brissett. I think they're going to be points on the board. They're Frank Gore's revenge game. But thing is, I think Hoyer, for as bad as he is, and he'll probably turn the ball over a couple times. But even Pierre Garçon's an okay play. I think the Niners will put up enough points that Brissett will have to throw the ball. And you look at T.Y. Hilton's home road splits. Yeah. He's affordable. So I'm with you. And the other thing about that, Brissett, not only is he cheap, but he'll have low ownership. So you want him in GPP plays, you know, you could really hit a home run there and spend your money elsewhere. I like it.
And he might pop a couple of big runs, too. And look what happened. People thought I was crazy. Listen, I took the Colts. I bet on the Colts when they were getting the points against Arizona. I like the Colts, the Cleveland Browns. Are you kidding me? The Browns are favorite on the road. And what happened? I told people before that game, this is going to be a track meet, guys. It's going to be a ton of points in this football game. You get bad football teams together, it opens up. It just does. You know, no one, this isn't going to be a 6-3 game. And I think a lot of people look at San Francisco last week against Arizona and stuff. That's a division rival. You're a Niner guy. They always play low-scoring, tight games against the Cards. Now they're going to the Midwest, early start. And like that cold offense isn't terrible. Jacoby Brissett doesn't suck.
Not at all. And Vontae Davis is not his old self. He's playing banged up. So they're going to give up points, which helps on the other side. You want it to be a track meet. So I totally agree. Just disregard last week. That was just an ugly game. A touchdown wasn't even scored until the final minute of overtime. But as you said, divisional game. These two teams are way less familiar with each other. And I think it's very sneaky plays in DFS this week regarding this matchup.
In DFS, I was, you know, I want to get your take, so I'll shut up and let you rattle off some players here. But for the quarterbacks, I was sort of like, yeah, it's hard not to like Aaron Rodgers. I was like, okay, there's Rodgers. I didn't really like anybody else all that much besides Brissett and Hoyer. I don't like spending big on quarterbacks. So I was like, yeah, I don't really like these guys. Carson Palmer could be playing from behind, throws the ball so much. Is he a guy? Give me a quarterback out of your rankings where Brady, Rodgers, Prescott, can't argue with Prescott, Winston, Roethlisberger, Wilson, Carson Palmer. Throw us someone in the cheap range here that you like.
Well, I'm with you as Rodgers, even though he's like $1,000 more than anyone else on DraftKings. But that might mean his ownership is less because people want to spend elsewhere. And that's going to be a shootout. That's why I put Dak number three. But it's Carson Palmer. I mean, he's definitely the guy. He's affordable. They cannot run the ball without David Johnson. They're 6.5-point dogs. So they're going to throw the ball, period, regardless of matchup, pretty much, even last week, what did he throw for 300-plus yards in an ugly game in which they scored just one touchdown? Andre Ellington saw 14 targets. John Brown may be banged up, but I like Jerron Brown as a cheap option. Fitzgerald, I mean, he's old and he doesn't go downfield or anything, but he's still there. So they just have to throw the ball a ton. The Eagles are totally beatable right now on the outside. Their cornerbacks, I believe they've allowed at least one of the top three most fantasy points to opposing wide receivers. So I like Jerron Brown. Stack him with Carson Palmer. Again, they're going to have to throw the ball playing from behind. The game script is right. And the team just simply cannot run the ball since DJ went down.
You know what's funny? When we talk about baseball, we often use the pitcher. And I brought it up earlier. Oh, Clayton Kershaw, 2-0, 0.56 earned run average against Arizona this year. We don't often do it in football, do we? Where, hey, against this team, against this defensive coordinator, per se. But I can't ignore these numbers. How about this for Larry Fitzgerald? And this is from Zach Berman, courtesy of Chris Meany. retweet. In 8 career regular season and postseason games against the Eagles, Larry Fitzgerald has 50 catches, 845 yards, and 11 touchdowns. That's hard to pass up.
Do you remember that NFC Championship game?
Yeah.
That Fitzgerald, that run in the postseason was historical. So, yeah, I'm with you as far as not really paying too much attention to that, though, because the NFL is such a reshuffle league. It's so different.
So week to week. Week to week, let alone
even
year
week
to year.
Week. You're right. No, you're absolutely right. But yeah.
Running backs. I didn't want to take Le'Veon Bell, and it almost angered me. Every fantasy guy I had on is, well, you have to have Le'Veon Bell on your lineup this week. And I'm thinking, why? No, I don't. I don't have to. And then I sort of run through it, and I'm like, yeah, I see why I almost have to here. So you got Le'Veon Bell. Are you buying in like everyone? And who else catches your eye besides Le'Veon in a mid-tier pricing point on all formats?
Yeah, well, I'll admit, I'm loaded up on Le'Veon Bell. I just think he's ready to explode. That Jacksonville secondary is tough. The Steelers play so much better at home. Bell, just look at the volume. Even though his yards per carry is down this year, he's just almost guaranteed 30 touches, and he's simply the only back you can say that about, other than maybe Zeke. But Bell will get the catches. I know he's expensive, but I've based my lineups all around him, admittedly. So the ownership's going to be high. I get it. But I think he'll be worth it. The other couple other cheaper guys, the aforementioned Andre Ellington.
Yep.
Just because the point per reception is huge. Even if he only gets 5 carries, he's getting, like I said, 14 targets last week. I believe 9 the week before.
Those are my running backs, Ellington and Bell. I'm loving it. I'm glad that you're on board. It makes me feel smarter now, Dalton.
Oh, I'll give you one more cheap guy who is not going to catch the ball. It's kind of just his price. I'm kind of, as the week goes on, I'm leaning a little bit toward LeGarrette Blount. Oh. It looks like Smallwood is out. He totaled 156 yards last week. And again, as we mentioned with Arizona, they should be playing, the Eagles should be playing with the lead. And he's their goal line guy, obviously. He's like top 5 in juke rate this year, which is crazy for a big guy like that. So with as long as Smallwood's out at that price, I think Blount is a sneaky play.
Dalton Deldon, check out all of his fantasy rankings and picks. You can follow him on Twitter at Dalton Deldon, but check out Yahoo Sports at Fantasy. Great stuff. Dalton's one of the best in the business. All right, Dalton, hopefully, you and I never met. Hopefully we can hook up and have a couple of drinks and collect some checks and both finish in the top 50. So I'll see you January the 6th, 2018 at the Westgate.
Sounds good. Vegas, perfect place to meet up.
There it is. Dalton Deldon. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with my DraftKings lineup and a couple of players that Dalton liked, so it makes me happy.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at RotoExperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Thanks to Dalton Deldon for joining us on the program. Let's continue the DFS talk. But before we do, I want to remind you to head over to dailyroto.com, enter the code FNTSY, get 10% off a DFS kit, optimizers, take your DFS play to the next level. The Daily Roto guys are great. They make a ton of money, man. They got a bunch of experts that have made hundreds of thousands of dollars, and not just once, they consistently win. Roto experts, best in the business. Daily Roto, best in the business as well. DailyRoto.com, as I say, to take your DFS play to the next level. Okay, we've had a lot of bad beats this year in our own DFS play. We've had some great picks, yet we haven't been perfect. We haven't been able to go 8 for 8 here and just knock it out of the park completely. This week we're shaking it up. And we have some players that are going to be extremely heavily owned, and we have some players that are not going to be heavily owned. Let's start off with our quarterback, and Jacoby Brissett. And I can hear people laughing already. The trawlers are typing away as we speak. Jacoby Brissett. Hey, listen, Jacoby Brissett is going to tear apart the San Francisco 49er defense. Jacoby Brissett can move the football. He can move the sticks. He can throw the football. I'm stacking him with T.Y. Hilton. I think Hilton's going to have a big game today. I think, Brissett and Hilton are not going to be heavily owned. But you look at San Francisco, and they've been torched. They have no one in the secondary that's going to be able to shut down T.Y. Hilton. You look at Indianapolis, they're going to be a better team at home than they have been on the road, yet they actually looked pretty good last week against Seattle in the first half of that football game. You remember when Indianapolis played against the Browns a couple of weeks ago? What happened in that football game? 31-28. I think we're going to have a similar situation in this football game. I think Hoyer's a good play, actually, too, at $4,700, guys. But I think Brissett's the play here, man. I think Brissett's going to have a nice game. He's going to scramble around. I think the Colts are going to get into the mid-20s, the high 20s. It might turn into a real shootout and track meet. I think we have some value here. And you know what? We take Brissett at $5,600, and it leaves us some money to spend in some other positions. I don't like spending $9,500 on a running back. I don't like doing it. It goes against what I want to do. And everybody in the world is on Le'Veon Bell this week, and I wanted to not be there. But if you look at the options, there's really not a lot of other top options at the running back. You know, Elliott could have a big game against the Packers, but I'd rather have Bell, and Elliott's in the same pricing point. LeSean McCoy's been struggling as of late, even though the Bills have been winning. They're having a hard time getting them getting on track. Like, you know, Todd Gurley, do you want Gurley in this game against the Seahawks? You go down the list of, like, running backs, and it is Le'Veon Bell. But we got a nice one here with Andre Ellington. Arizona, all these guys do is throw the ball, man. And they throw the ball a hell of a lot to Andre Ellington out of the backfield. He's the guy right now. Chris Johnson couldn't handle it. It's Ellington time. So Ellington's getting a ton of looks out of the backfield. In the DraftKings format, he's going to be able to rack up a lot of points. And I think there will be playing from behind against Philadelphia. All right, Jordy Nelson. Jordy Nelson is going to be my go-to guy here as far as wide receivers are concerned. I did consider an Eli Manning Beckham stack, but it was too expensive. Jordy Nelson's a stud. As long as he's healthy, he's going to light it up. The Cowboys' secondary blows. This is going to be a high-scoring game. The total's the highest total on the board left this week. It's going to get into the 50s this game, and I want a piece of Jordy Nelson. Wouldn't surprise me. You know, 9-10 catches, 2 touchdowns type of deal. I'm big on Jordy Nelson this week. Larry Fitzgerald, the guy's absolutely owned the Philadelphia Eagles over the years. Absolutely owned them, man. All right, Ed, once again, Arizona can't run the football, okay? So they throw the football to Ellington. They throw the football to Fitzgerald. I think Jerron Brown's a good deal at $4,500, but we can't have all Arizona Cardinals here. But Larry Fitzgerald, $6,800, and if he doesn't play well, I blame camera to Drew, because Drew is the one. I said, Drew, what do you think of my lineup? Drew starts poking around. Gotta have Fitz in there, man. I was like, I got Ellington already. No, you got it. It's worth it. Evan Engram, I want a part of this. I want to pick on San Diego a little bit. I think this game's going to be a higher scoring game with the Giants and the Chargers. Engram's like a hybrid wide receiver. He gets a ton of targets, too. I like Engram in this spot. We're rolling the dice with Julius Thomas at $2,800 tight end. This was a camera to Drew's suggestion as well, but I like where he's going with this. The Tennessee Titans defense blows. The Dolphins passing attack will get on track a little bit here. And we got the Bills defense. The Bills are going to terrorize Andy Dalton, create a couple of turnovers, interceptions, fumbles, and sacks. And the Bills defense is cheap. Normally, I don't like spending money on the defense. I don't have to with the Bills defense. It's a weird lineup. It's a good lineup. Game time decision continues.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
All right, we got to be quick with our plays of the day. We got quite a few of them. Let's start off with some afternoon baseball. I don't like the lines in either of the games, but I think the Dodgers and the Indians are both going to win their baseball games with Kluber and Kershaw. So give me the KK down in Judas Priest parlay, public parlay, -107 is going to get it done. A little contrarian play here. You know, generally, a lot of people are liking the Cubs, a live dog. Kyle Hendricks has been great, but I think the Nationals are going to find a way to win this baseball game with Steven Strasburg. I'm going to lay the juice with Strasburg. No run in the first inning. And you know what? This game's probably going to be a lower scoring game. Maybe take a look at the under in the first 5 innings of play. All right, NHL hockey. Vegas makes their debut tonight. I don't think it's going to go well in Dallas. We're going to lay the puck and a half. Football, Memphis going to kill UConn. Game's going to go over the number. Boise State, they're going to cover the 7 because BYU blowing is going to go over 47. Other night, you're on your own. Made a winners be yours.